You just take whatever God gives you and use it for His glory. I mean, all I knew how to do back in those days, you know. I did have a good education in engineering, and I did know how to work on equipment. And so I used that strongly and boldly. And, of course, I had a good job, which paid fairly good money, so I had a little extra, and I could buy parts wholesale because I used to have a garage myself. So I didn't have a problem buying a set of pistons or rings or bearings or whatever. Or fixing an engine, I kept those buses in excellent shape for Lakeland Baptist Church the whole time I was there. You know, I could do that, and I knew how. But I didn't know how to get people healed. I didn't know how to cast out demons. So you can't go beyond knowledge. If the Spirit has not revealed Himself to you in these areas, you can't do this. You just can't do it. So you've got to get in there with God, spend time with Him, and He'll reveal Himself to you. Now then, let's go on. 1 Corinthians, we're going to start in chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. When we tell you this, we do not use words of human wisdom. We speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. Where do you think Paul got all his spiritual knowledge? From the Lord. He gave it to him, and so he's now passing it on to us. But he says, but people who aren't Christians can't understand these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them because only those who have the Spirit can understand what the Spirit means. Think about this. Think of the people. You have friends, relatives, every one of you do. They're not spiritual at all. Maybe they're not even Christians. But you've been coming to this church and you've seen God do awesome things in the area of healing and deliverance. And so when one of your relatives gets sick or afflicted, you go over and tell them, Bob, let me tell you that Jesus can heal you. And you say, you've lost your mind. Maybe you've been like Dave. You know, you've received a tremendous healing. I mean, how many of y'all think that Dave could be deceived to believe that Jesus don't heal no more? I mean, after he received the tremendous miracle of healing that he did after being sick 40 years. Now then, if you walk up to Dave and say, but Dave, you know, he says, look, I got healed. Look at me. Boy, he's always pulling his pants leg up, showing you scars and all that stuff. He said, I got healed. Jesus healed me. And they said, Dave, you know, that stuff don't work no more. You know, you didn't get healed. That was just a figment of your imagination. God don't do that. What do you think the chances are of somebody stealing that from Dave? Well, after the study time he spent in the Word, it ain't possible. You can't steal that from him. But if somebody had come along and did that and he had not gotten in the Word, somebody would have convinced him it was just a time in life for his healing to come, and it really wasn't God that healed him. Do you know people do that to people? They steal your healing from you, or he would go back and be sick again. Like I've told you, one of my best friends at home, his dad was a great man of God. He loved God with all his heart, and he was a member of the Baptist church where we went there in Goldthwaite, where I was raised up. And this man, this good friend of mine, his dad had a pickup wreck, and it broke his back. Now, he became paralyzed from the waist down. He could still move his arms, but he could not move his legs, totally paralyzed. He'd always been a very active man, farmer, rancher, had thousands of acres of land he oversaw. Now then, he's sitting at home with nothing to do. Well, he turns the radio on. We don't have television back in those days. He turned the radio on, and he hears about Oral Roberts and how Oral Roberts praying for people, and they get healed. So he listens for, I guess, weeks or maybe months. And then one day tells his wife, I want you to take me to Tulsa. I'm going to one of those healing meetings that Oral Roberts has got. I've been listening and talking, and I'm hearing people getting out of wheelchairs and everything. I'm going up there, and when I go, I'm going to get healed. Well, of course, he didn't tell nobody in the Baptist church about this. So his wife takes him up there, and he hears Oral preach, and after an hour or two of preaching, he starts seeing people being pushed up there and walked up there and touched and healed to get out of wheelchairs and everything else. And he said, when I get up there and Oral Roberts touches me, I'm healed. I'm getting out of this wheelchair. I mean, he was spring-loaded. And when Oral Roberts touched him, Hugh jumped out of that wheelchair, and he was completely, totally well, and he was running, jumping up and down, praising God and everything else. And he came back home, and the next Sunday morning, he walked into church. Praise God! Guys, look at me. I got healed. Hugh, what happened to you? How come you're walking? You know you can't walk. But I went to Oral Roberts, and Oral Roberts laid hands on me, and I got healed. Look at me, I can walk again. I mean, oh, praise God. And they said, Oral Roberts is of the devil. You know that stuff don't work. That's nonsense. And them Baptist deacons, within a week, stole that healing from that man. That man died in a wheelchair. Are we stupid in the church? See, I saw that whole thing happen. I didn't even have enough knowledge to understand why this happened like this. I didn't know until years later when his son told me about how his dad had that great faith to go up there. And when he knew when Oral touched him, he's going to get healed. That's the kind of faith God's looking for. And he did. He healed him. And then he comes back and those Baptist deacons tell him, Oral Roberts is of the devil. Have you ever heard anybody say something about a peach preacher that steps into the supernatural? He's of the devil? I've been called that a few times myself. I had a real nice letter just this last week that told me I was teaching a lie and that I need to be on my face before God, repenting, telling God how sorry I am, how I've deceived His people for all these things that I've been saying. And I thought to myself, I wonder how many people that person got healed in their life. None. That's right. Yeah, I can be assured. And then, of course, they didn't even put a return address on it or nothing. And down at the bottom, they said, a friend. So I wanted to know if they ever listened to another one of my teachings. If you ain't got enough guts to put your return address on it and sign your name on it, don't write me no letters. If you ain't got at least enough to come sit down and talk with me and let's see what the Word says, don't write me a letter and put no return address and say a friend. Because if I ever get another one like that, it has no return address and says a friend, I ain't even going to bother about reading it. I'm just going to throw the sucker in the trash. Isn't that a shame? That in the church, we have no spiritual knowledge. But yet it appears this person, I don't know whether it's male or female, it appears they've read the Bible. But obviously, the Holy Spirit didn't reveal the truth to them. Because if they had, what I teach and what they say would be the same. We do not use words of human wisdom. We speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. That's what we try to do here. But people who aren't Christians can't understand these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them. Because only those who have the Spirit can understand what the Spirit means. So if you say, I read the Bible, but I don't understand it, next time you hear somebody say that, what do you need to tell them? You need to get saved. You need to come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Yeah. That's just like one time I was in a Pentecostal church, and there was three or four Pentecostal preachers there, and they was all talking about how much trouble they have with some of the people in their church and how they couldn't get along with them. And I listened to that for probably 15 or 20 minutes. And I said, you know, guys, I'll tell you all what the problem is here. They said, what is it? I said, you three pastors need to get saved. I said, you're supposed to be able to love the brethren when you get saved. Is that what the Word said? I didn't go over too well. I told them, I said, you know, the Word of God clearly says, guys, that if we're born again, we have the Spirit of God, which is the love spirit. And by that, we have the love within us to love the brethren, all of the brethren. We can love them. You know, so I said that we need to love the brethren. Okay, so verse 15 and 16. We who have the Spirit understand these things, but others can't understand us at all. Like I say, you go out and start talking to one of your friends, even somebody who's been in a Baptist church. You know, I mean, or Methodist church, or who knows, maybe a Pentecostal church. And you start talking to them about healing. I think about what some people have told me. You know, you sit down, and I've seen this several times with different people. You start talking to them and say, you know, you're a Christian. Why don't we talk about getting healing? Oh, you know a better doctor? Oh, yeah, I know a good doctor. Wow, what's his name? Jesus. Oh, I don't believe in that stuff. You know, they'll say, get away from me. I don't believe in that stuff. That's what God made doctors for. Now, why do you think they can't understand the spiritual things? They have not been in tune with God, have they? In other words, if you're in tune with God, and you're going to a church where the pastor is in tune with God, salvation, getting people saved, is going to be a normal thing for you. You're going to be out there leading people to Christ on a regular basis. You're going to be talking to people about Jesus, the most wonderful thing that ever happened to you. And that's Jesus. And, of course, when you see somebody that's sick, first thing you want to do is say, you know, let me pray for you and God will heal you. Or, you know, maybe we got this problem here and you say, well, you know, that's just a demon. Let me cast it out. And if they are spiritual at all, they'll say, yes, I want this demon cast out of me. But if they're not spiritual, they'll say, well, you know, Christians can't have demons. You know, they can't have them. It's impossible. But it's not impossible. That's what our problem is in the church. If we're not tuned into God, we can't understand it at all. How could they? For who can know what the Lord is thinking? Who can give him counsel? But we can understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. So whose mind do we have in us? Christ. Who lives in us? Christ. So should we be able to understand all these things? Oh, yeah. That shouldn't be a problem. You know, I mean, I think about, of course, I like to kid Kim about this. When I first started teaching about how we could remit people's sins, she'd never heard that. I mean, that was a brand new one on her. And of course, you know, it's brand new on all of us. But I took her to John 20, 23 here one day, and I told her, I said, you know, as we're talking about it, she said, you mean I can forgive people's sins? I said, well, Kim, what does it say? Well, that's what it says, but. I said, no. No buts. If that's what it says, you can do it. Well, one day they had a problem with the power at their house, and it was off all night long. It's supposed to be back on in a few hours. And the next morning, it still wasn't on. And so they're praying, and the Lord told her, said, Kim, remit the sins of the people of this block. Now, her first statement was, Lord, I can't remit the sins of the people of this whole block. Then she said, Lord, what am I saying? Of course I can. Lord, I remit the sins of this block. And the instant she did that, the power came back on instantly. Isn't that something? Sin even keeps our electric power from coming in, right?
I know.
Isn't that something? When people say, but sin and sickness are not related. How about sin and electricity? Isn't that something? God showed you and Scott something that day, didn't he, Scott? Y'all learned a great lesson. So as now then, if somebody has got a problem, what's the first thing you do? Remit their sin, right? Remit their sin. And remit your own sin. You know, we want to make sure that we're walking clean and pure and holy. Because, see, that's the problem in the church today. That's why we have all these problems, is because of sin. You know, without sin, you know, yesterday, those of you that were here at the healing school when I was in Chronicles, I won't go back there again today, but yesterday I was talking about a king of Israel that would not obey God. So it says, the Lord struck him with an intestinal disease that caused his bowels to fall out after 2 years of agony and pain. That's written in the Word of God. But all that happened because that king would not be obedient to do what God told him to do.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled Secret Wisdom of God, or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.